The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship. It's so great to have you with us. Please join me today in the call to worship. Jesus, Holy Son of God, faithful and true, we waited and you came. Jesus, heaven's perfect Lamb, obedient to the laws of God. Jesus, all-powerful one, worthy of all honor, glory, and praise, humble Prince of Peace. Jesus, fully God, yet fully human, witnessed by the voice of the Father, we exalt you and bless your holy name. Jesus, in this time of worship today, reveal your love to us as we praise you with heart and voice. If you have a habit of lighting a candle for worship, let's do that together as I light the Christ candle here. Let us pray. Eternal Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you revealed him to be your Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling as your people, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Will you join me in saying together our prayer of confession for today? We are incredibly stubborn, O Lord. We have entered the season in which your light has been given to the world. Your blessings have been poured out on the world, and yet it is difficult to think about anything but our own problems, our own needs, our own desires. Help us to desire you, Lord. Help us to yearn for your presence. Pour your baptismal waters over us again, cleansing us from our self-pity and arrogance. Nourish and heal us so that we may joyfully serve you. Wash away our jealousy, greed, and all negative thoughts and behaviors that stand in the way of our truly being the people you have called us to be. Let us receive again the blessings offered in creation, in the birth and baptism of Jesus, and in the ministry of the saints of light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, the love of God is always offered to us freely, joyfully, for all eternity. This is the good news. This is good reason for us to rejoice today and always. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, 21 and 22. And I'm reading from the NRSV version. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and he was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, if you're a bit of a church geek, you will already know that this past Thursday, the Christian church around the world celebrated Epiphany, the day that we remember the Magi's visit to a young Jesus. Along with that visit around Epiphany, we also remember that God revealed that same Jesus to be his Son. Quite literally, God incarnate, God in human flesh. And that is why today, as we begin this season after Epiphany, we start with this passage from Luke, where he recounts Jesus' baptism. Luke's telling of the actual baptism is starkly brief. He simply says that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Period. Rather than giving us much in the way of details of the actual event when Jesus was baptized, Luke seems to be more interested in describing the moments after it. He tells us that after Jesus was baptized, he was praying, and that as he was doing that, two astounding things happened. First, the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove and came down and rested on Jesus. And as that happened, Luke tells us that a voice came from the heavens, the voice of God, with this great affirmation, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus was truly God's Son, the Messiah, fully human and fully divine. God in human flesh come to live with us and to lead us to the fullness of life with each other and with God that we were both designed for and created for. At Epiphany, we really focus on this core truth of our faith, the revelation of Jesus as God and God with us. Well, readings like today's passage can really ground and strengthen our faith in that belief. It's why this fits so well in this season. But as solid as the words of this passage may be, an honest reading of them can't really avoid the question that seems to be sitting there right there in the middle of it all. Have you ever wondered, if Jesus was and is God's Son, then why on earth would he need to be baptized? It's an intriguing question. Remember, as John the Baptist had made clear, baptism was a way of repenting for sin and then receiving forgiveness for that sin. In baptism, there is this sense of dying to our old lives, which are all in some way marred by the sin and fallenness that is in our world, and then rising again to join with all those who have chosen to pursue a new life, a life lived with God in the way of Christ. And while all of that makes perfect sense for you and I, wouldn't you think it would all be rather irrelevant for Jesus, who was himself without sin and was already actually living the way he would call the rest of us to? Why would Jesus, Son of God, the Messiah, need to be baptized? Well, this is a question that many people have wondered about, and it has spurred lots of conversation among people who study Jesus' life. But honestly, I've not heard one simple, solid answer to that question. There does seem to be some sense that when he was baptized, Jesus was in some way identifying with us, that he was showing us that he was quite willing to do what we must. And in the process, he was showing us the way to that full and abundant life that he promises. Well, today, I want us to explore that part a little bit more. The idea that when Jesus was baptized, he was showing us something very important about the life he's calling us to. Well, let's begin by going back to that struggle and unpacking it a bit. In simple terms, it just seems contradictory to us for Jesus to be baptized. A key part of our belief about baptism is that we're leaving behind that old sinful life and embracing a new cleansed one. So at the risk of grossly oversimplifying things, because we struggle with sin, our being baptized makes perfect sense. But Jesus was without sin, so why would he be baptized? In this thinking, as we look at this whole episode, we're kind of seeing two clear categories here. That Jesus is in one, and we are in the other. To say it in kind of the old school religious way, there are the people who are the sinners, and then there's Jesus, who isn't. Now, strictly speaking, this is absolutely true. Looking at things in this way, seeing these two distinct and mutually exclusive groups of sinful and sinless, and then plunking us into them, us and Jesus, well, it turns out that doing that, I don't think it's particularly helpful. Even more importantly, what has me thinking this is the fact that it just doesn't seem to be the way that Jesus looks at things. He doesn't seem to be at all perturbed by these distinctions that we make. He doesn't try to argue or to explain that he's not a sinner, so he doesn't need to be baptized. In fact, in Matthew's telling of the story of his baptism, we read that Jesus actually said it was right for him to be baptized. Jesus doesn't seem to be at all concerned with the fact that he's without sin and we aren't. He doesn't seem to be thinking about groupings like this at all, let alone trying to figure out where he fits into them. And he certainly isn't letting those distinctions separate us from him. Quite the opposite, actually. He came along, saw the people being baptized, and joined in, was baptized along with everyone that was there that day. And that has me thinking. I'm not sure whether Jesus doesn't think about the fact that he was without sin and others aren't, or maybe that fact just doesn't even matter to him. My sense is that it's probably the latter, that it doesn't matter. If you think about it, that's actually how we see Jesus being with people throughout his whole life. People would gather around him and wonder about why he was befriending people like tax collectors and sinners. They would accuse him of being a drunkard or a glutton, because he was hanging out with people who actually fit those descriptions. But Jesus couldn't seem to have cared less about what people thought or about what labels they might have been putting on him or on the people he was hanging out with. It just didn't seem to matter to him. He seems to have had no inclination to pigeonhole people like that. And so consequently, he never let that kind of thinking affect how he was with people. He just engaged with folks as individuals. He didn't look at Matthew and see a tax collector. He saw Matthew, the real Matthew. He doesn't look at you or I. and see whatever category we think we might fit in. He just sees you. He just sees me. The real people, the heart of who we are. I actually think that this might have been one of the things about being with Jesus that would have been the most compelling. I think you would have felt this as you were with him. I encourage you, if you have a spare few moments this week, to pick up a Bible and read a couple of the stories of Jesus' life, stories of him interacting with people. And as you do that, think about how it must have been for that person to really be seen by Jesus. Seen for who they are. Not for what they've done or not done or for how they measure up or don't, but just for who they really are. Someone who is made in the image of God, someone precious and beloved, someone for whom Jesus was apparently prepared to give everything. Imagine what it must have been like to be able to be with him and to feel that kind of wholehearted love and acceptance. It must have been life-changing. Well, friends, we are living in a time and in a world when there seems to be so much that is creating divisions amongst us and just polarizing us. It's in our politics. It's woven throughout so much to do with this pandemic. Sadly, it's in our churches. And it's even in our families. We seem to too readily see others and ourselves as fitting into certain molds. You're either liberal or you're conservative. You're pro-vaccination or you're against vaccinations. You're evangelical or you're not. I get why we do this. It's way easier for me to just slot you into the box that I think you fit in and then assume that I already know what you're all about. It's far easier than to sit with you and listen and take the time to really get to know you, to discover the wonderfully complex, challenging, unique individual that you actually are. Instead of taking the risk in doing that and making all that effort, it's way easier for us to just make our assumptions, put people in the appropriate box, and then depending on what that box is, decide whether we're prepared to spend time with them, to like them, to love them, or not. Well, this week, through this very familiar story of Jesus' baptism, he's been challenging me, I think. Challenging me to see that he didn't ever do this. He spent his whole life moving towards people, not finding reasons to pull away from them. He didn't give a whiff about labels and distinctions that tended to divide people from each other. And they were there in his society, just like they're there in ours. But he intentionally disregarded them. In fact, it's often what got him into trouble. Just read the stories about how he was with people, especially people that others thought he should stay away from. Not only did he not look for reasons to pull away, he did everything he could, and he gave everything he could, so that those perceived divisions would be completely erased. If Jesus was the very incarnation of God, and that incarnation was about one thing, God coming to be with us and removing every reason there might ever be for us to be separated from him or from each other ever again. Friends, this is really the essence of the movement of reconciliation, intentionally reaching out to the other, making the effort to get to know them, and then focusing on how we can be together rather than focusing on what keeps us separated. Reconciliation work like that is the work Jesus did. It is also the ministry that he has given us to do. So in this time when there seems to be so much polarization, maybe our call as Jesus' people is to be different, to be like him, to work at bringing people together, regardless of the labels that might have been put on them, to not contribute to the divisions that are so rampant in our world right now, but instead to be determined first and foremost to see others as people who were created in the image of the God who loves them and loves us, and to offer them the dignity that goes with that, and ultimately to be prepared to love them just like Christ does. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts to the joy of worshiping you this morning, to receive deeply the nurturing presence of your love. It is difficult not to be overwhelmed with the fourth wave of COVID that we are coping with right now, to get stuck in despair. We pray that each of us who are listening remember who we are. We either desire to or are actually following Jesus Christ. We lean into the Holy Spirit. We believe in God of love. Help each of us to rely deeply on and trust deeply our God of love in everything we do and are. May we recognize and follow the paths God has called us to, each in our own way, and to do so with humility and discipline. Open each of our hearts to an awareness when we have hurt those folk we meet along the way, and to reconcile with that person. No matter what our circumstance is, may we trust also that we have something of caring, kindness, and acceptance to offer when another that we meet. We pray that caregivers be given an extra portion of mental as well as physical strength, that their ability to nurture with kindness hold steadily as the days move on. We pray for those who are sick, that they be given mental, emotional, and physical healing that is filled with your peace. We pray that those who are palliative be surrounded with your presence, and that they also be filled with your peace. We pray for the teachers and school children all over the world, that they remain healthy rather than succumb to COVID. We pray for our communities, that they maintain hope and are provided for both in health and security. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue to be ever so grateful for your faithful giving through your tithes and offerings. Let's dedicate these offerings again to God's purposes by saying this offertory prayer together. Eternal God, if the nations of the world are to be drawn to you, they must first hear the good news. Use these gifts and us, we pray, to share the message of your redeeming love in the name of the one who truly is the light of the world. Amen.
A couple of announcements for today. The first is to let you know about two people who have been part of our congregational life who we've heard recently have passed away. One was in the summer. It was Lillian Bolger. Lillian was the wife of one of the ministers of St. Stephen's. Reverend Mike Bolger was here at St. Stephen's in the 1980s, and we've just heard that his wife Lillian passed away in the summer, so I would ask you to keep her family and those who are still grieving her loss in your prayers. We also heard sadly that Grace Duncan, who was a more recent part of our congregational family, died on December 21st. So I would ask you to keep her daughter and all extended family and friends in your prayers in these coming weeks. That loss is still fresh. We are grateful for Grace's place amongst us, and we pray that she may right now be knowing the peace and the joy of being in the presence of God. And finally, I just want to let you know that we will continue online in this way as being our sole way of worshiping together for the near future. We're keeping an eye on things, and as I'm sure you can appreciate, things are changing more quickly this time around in this wave, and we're hoping that that will mean a more quick return to being able to gather in person once again. But we won't be doing that until we're sure that we're kind of through this peak, and that doing that gathering wouldn't put any of us in any undue level of risk. And so we will continue online. We ask you to keep an eye on the church website and on your regular weekly emails that come, and we'll keep you updated on where we're at and if any of those decisions change and when we are finally able to be back together again in the sanctuary here. Friends, may the water of your baptism enliven you. May the faith of your baptism strengthen you. And may the community of the baptized support you. And may Christ, who was himself baptized, keep you always and firmly in God's love. Amen. Thank you.
with light.